The Pale-Faced Lie, A True Story by David Crow. I've probably seen you a dozen times sitting in a car staring at the house or circling the block on foot. What happened here that constantly brings you back? A simple question, but asked with such kindness that the tears and memories came gushing out of me. Elephant Hill. Cherry bombing the Navajos on Route 66. The Benny Perret fight. The knife-throwing incident. Lonnie swallowing the aspirin. Ditching Mom. He put his arms around me and pulled me to the couch. "Please, sit." I cried my way through more stories as he sat quietly and listened. When I finished, he fed me dinner in our old kitchen, which looked remarkably the same except for the table and chairs. When he asked me to come inside, it was still light. It was nearly 2 a.m. when I stood to leave. At the door, I thanked him and extended my hand. He took it in both of his. "You can't change your childhood, but you can let it go," he said. Forgiving Troy by Tom Beards. Then one morning, Troy strutted through the kitchen with a tattoo on his bicep. Under it was cigarette burns. He said they didn't hurt, and that he no longer felt pain. Further testing his pain threshold that April, Troy sliced his forearms with razor blades. Mom took him to Kenosha Memorial Hospital and pleaded they keep him there. They agreed. Troy told the psychiatrist that he was increasingly suspicious of people in groups. He admitted to trying all kinds of recreational drugs to combat the paranoia. Psychiatric evaluation. Mental status. Troy says, this is his last life. He has had 10 other lives. This life will not be spent making money, and instead inflicting pain on himself, trying to experience every type of pleasure a possible thing in life, and eventually to either kill himself or be shot trying to save someone. He does not expect to live too much longer. He says the depression gets so bad that he likes to inflict pain. Sometimes he is afraid that this may lead to suicide. This date, he was oriented. He laughed whenever I referred to his other lives and seemed to be aware of attitudes and of abstract thinking. He has almost a mild, euphoric, happy attitude, laughing, somewhat inappropriately, and motor activity was full and comfortable. Other psychological testing indicated evidence of early thinking disorder, depression, probable adolescent schizophrenia. The Senator by Blake Jordan. The senator and his wife embraced while he was still knelt down next to her wheelchair, which Nurse Cheryl held onto. The wheelchair was new, a precaution. Margaret's illness was progressing, and her nurse thought it could help. "You look beautiful, sweetie," Keller said as he stood and grabbed his suit jacket and smiled a gentle smile to his wife. She reached into the pocket of the robe she had draped over a blouse and slowly extended her hand to her husband. It shook slightly, and Keller steadied it with his left hand and took what she was offering him with his right. It was a fading Polaroid of Margaret from their first date. "What's this?" the senator asked, understanding what she'd given him, but not why she had done it. "I'm sorry I can't be there for you tonight, but put that in your jacket, left side, closest to your heart." Senator Keller's eyes teared up, and he cleared his throat as he placed the picture inside his jacket.